Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and welcome to my show, Positively Healthy. Well, it's perfect out there, you know, if you have a chance to get outside today. There's nothing like it. I want to welcome you to our show today. Lots of new ideas, lots of information that I don't know we're going to learn today. Before we get started, though, I want to remind you a couple things. First is that out at the Old Shasta Art Fair this weekend, we'll have the gentleman that I'm going to have on the show here later this summer. His name is Ted Dawson, and he is a primitive skills teacher. And so he'll be out at the Old Shasta Art Fair today and tomorrow. And he teaches interesting things like how to make a fire, how to tan hides, identifying wild plants. He custom makes knives and wooden bowls, and he does tanning of hides, natural fishing line and rope, all sorts of things that I think are really interesting. And he, at the top of his business card, it says, practice your primitive skills the way your ancestors did. So information like that, I'm always worried that we're losing. And so Ted is out there, and he'll be on our show one of these Saturdays. So, you know, I've been in practice for 18 years. I've had a chiropractic, or I have a chiropractic and nutrition practice. And, you know, we're taking the approach that lots of little changes, little easy changes create health. And so what I'm hoping that you do is listen to this show and say, what do you think, honey? You think we can make that little shift or change? And slowly, you know, we've created health. And so hopefully it'll sound interesting to you, and just choose the stuff that you like the most. And so start with small decisions, and that usually creates some phenomenal results. Also, my concern of this week is dehydration. You know, the symptoms of dehydration, they're always different than you think. And so some symptoms of dehydration are feeling a little crabby, lightheaded, hungry, low energy. The reason I'm telling you these symptoms, I want you to notice that none of them had to do with thirst. And so, you know, I think we do pretty well hydrating in the summer. It's just so darn hot out there. Everybody has water with them. And in the winter, we're not needing as much water, so whatever soup we're having or water we're drinking seems to work just fine. And then in the spring and the fall, we just lose the water habit a little bit. So if you're out there hiking around and it doesn't seem too hot, and you know, make sure you bring your water bottle, because it's just been the topic of conversation the last couple of weeks here with perfect weather, and so we have a tendency to not drink enough. Today we have a fabulous lineup of guests, and our first guest is Sandra Smith, and she, you know, Reading got rid of its ban on backyard chickens, and I know a lot of you would like to consider the idea of having backyard chickens, and that starts a whole host of questions. And so backyard chickens are a good idea if you just want eggs to eat, or if you would like to do a project with your family, all sorts of reasons. But then the question of what to feed them pops right into your mind, and you know, we've all made such a big deal that there's so much cruddy stuff to feed eggs, and it all comes in a big package, and I want you to know what to feed them. So after this break, when I get back, we're going to interview Sandra and see what to do about this whole new project. A lot of us want to start with backyard chickens. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy.
Slow down.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. And you know, we Reading people, we just have this little thing about chickens. I don't know what it is. We just, the idea of having chickens in our backyard just makes sense to us, or to a lot of us. And I personally don't have a yard that could have chickens, so it's not fenced. So we have an expert in the house today, Sandra Smith. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi.
Who lives in Millville, let me just say that. Well, you know, lots of questions after the backyard ban was raised. You know, people just seem to be interested in having chickens. Now, is this a huge deal, or is this something that people can do quite easily?
Actually, it'd be quite easy. You just need to have a small house of some sort to close them up at night, and other than that, you can have them running free in your yard. As long as you have it fenced in.
Okay, so you need a fenced yard, mm-hmm. and you need a little bit of space. You know, if we were just to talk about classic Redding fenced backyards, which would be neighborhood backyards, I mean, that's fine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've heard the word chicken coop forever. Now they just go there at night to hang out?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's to protect
them? Some people
them?
Will leave them in there. During the day, but, yeah. you know, they really only need to be closed up at night to protect them from predators.
Okay. And even backyards, you have predators, huh?
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So what does a chicken coop, what can that be? Can that be, what kind of little protective house is that? Does that need to be something that can be like a little shed that's already maybe in your backyard, or can it be?
Yeah, you could use any kind of building. You just want to make sure there's enough ventilation in there for
okay.
the chickens.
Yeah, ventilation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then the question that seems to keep coming up is, like, if you wanted to have, like, if you had a family of four, if you wanted to have eggs, you know, here and there, maybe not every day of the week, mm-hmm. but if you wanted to have eggs for the family, how many chickens do people usually need for it to have kind of a nice, consistent household supply?
Yeah, you probably want to have, especially if you want year-round eggs, maybe a half a dozen chickens.
Okay, so six could do
and
it?
And in the wintertime, you'd get less. In the summer, you'd get too much that you can share with others. And
okay, and now they have one egg a day?
One egg would be max.
One egg max. Okay,
yeah.
So one egg a day.
Through the summer, you probably get close to one egg a day from each one.
Okay, and then in the winter, do they maybe... Is it every other day, or do they go a week without having
eggs? It can really vary a lot in the winter because okay. they go through periods of time where they don't lay at all or they just don't lay as often.
So you just have to roll with it in the winter.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, I was told by our Lazy 69 Ranch, Dan Martin, he said egg season is when everybody starts baking. It's when they want more eggs, you know, with kind of the holidays to about sometime after January. So mm-hmm. the backyarders might just need to still buy eggs during that season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so...
And you can also freeze them, too, when you have excess. You want to whip them up first, and you can freeze them for baking later in the year.
Oh, interesting. Okay, tidbit that I would never have thought to ask. Okay, so here are these chickens. We've learned that they're actually kind of quiet, right? We're not, except for when they're laying an egg. They kind of...
The hens are quiet, yeah, except when they lay an egg, they'll make a little cackling noise, but not really loud, not like the roosters.
Okay, and roosters are still banned.
Yes.
And, okay, so is that the cackling noise, is that going to irritate the neighbors, or is that just kind of...
It shouldn't. It's just a little cackle, and it's not loud.
Okay, all right.
And it's daytime.
And it's a daytime thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound too terrible. Well, then we also know that, you know, kind of the main reason I wanted to have you on was to talk about chicken feed, because I was out at Tractor Supply looking at different types of chicken feed and reading all the ingredients, and, you know, it just, you just stumble right into a lot of junky feed and a lot of feed that's either genetically modified organisms, a lot of pesticides. You get into all this stuff before you know it. And mm-hmm. so if you're trying to, you know, anybody who contacted me already had a little bit of a mindset that they wanted to have kind of a higher end. They weren't trying to sell any eggs. They were trying to really just have great eggs that were really, really healthy, and they were fine with just breaking even or even losing a little bit here and there, and, you know, or doing a family project, et cetera. And so when we look at these feeds, I mean, one of the first things you told me is that, you know, you have to figure that you're going to have chickens running around in your yard. So if you hadn't moved to a more natural fertilizer for your lawn, or if you need to start thinking about organic fertilizers. So that's probably the first place to start, right? So
right.
if people are thinking, I want to do this, we'll first make that shift. Like, create a home for the chickens, and so make it a little healthier back there. If you've got the bug spray person coming, cancel them, because you want some pests for the chickens to eat, right?
Right.
So okay. And so, and then they're your pest control.
Right.
Is that what you
mm-hmm.
were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be eating all your bugs for you.
They'll be eating your... How perfect. It's a cycle of life, you know. Yeah. Okay, so then tell us about what they should be eating.
Well, their natural diet would be plants and seeds and bugs and grains. So, you know, having a lot of greens is real good for them. So if you can use them for your lawnmowers.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, they're going to mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting better by the minute.
Eat your weeds. Yeah.
I love this. Okay, I might be fencing my yard soon. And the front, too. Okay, so then what about table scraps?
Table scraps would be, I've not really given them a lot of table scraps, but I guess in the line of your grains and your vegetables, they're not really carnivores, so I wouldn't tend to give them meat, but so, I think some people do. I don't tend to do that.
So, like, I made a big soup yesterday, and I just threw away, like, the end of the leeks and the end, you know, all the outside of the onion, all just parts of all these vegetables. I could have just thrown that out to chickens.
Right. They would eat all that.
Okay. Okay. Well, hey, you know, Redding, I hope this is starting to be interesting to you, because it certainly is to me. It's time for us to take a break, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here with Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you know we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back. Lots of little chicken sounds here in the studio during the break. Welcome back. Our guest is Sandy Smith, and you know we're talking backyard chickens and what to feed them. And Sandra, let's go through kind of what's kind of cruddy about, or what do you not like about some of these commercial feeds?
Well, I would say number one is probably most of the grains in them are genetically modified, and they've not been raised organically, and so they do have the chemicals and pesticides on them. That would be my main.
Okay. No, I think that's huge.
And they also have soy and corn, which isn't really the natural diet of a chicken.
Okay. And we know that right now, as Americans, we have so much corn in our body. We are so corned up, and we are so full of soy that at this point, we're smart to move away from that. Mm-hmm. And so what is it that's so great about what your feeding recommendations? Like, what is it that you, what do chickens eat? What's the natural?
Well, their main natural eating would be the plants, you know, grazing on plants and bugs, and then grains, and you just throw out grains for scratch or as their main feed. And the organic feed that I have available now is organic, and it, for the protein, they use peas rather than soy.
Okay.
And then the grains would be the triticale, the wheat and the barley.
Okay, so wheat and barley and some grains that we don't normally think of. Triticale, or what else did you say?
Wheat, barley.
Okay, Yeah, so those are all grains. So those are just a little different. So somebody could maybe make up their own grain mix, I guess, maybe at Orchard Nutrition or something like that, if they wanted to. Could they sort of kind of go?
I suppose they could. It would probably be expensive.
I'm guessing
to use human grade, because these are all animal grade grains.
Okay.
And they also add a vitamin pack to it to add extra nutrients to it.
Okay. And so one of the things that is fascinating about, like, you do a lot of your kind of side business is that you do a lot of food wholesaling, and you have all sorts of fabulous foods coming in, and people. In the form of a buying club, people can come to you and get almost like a discount health food store. You know,
right.
They can get things from you. Okay. And so you've been doing that for kind of a lot of years. But they can get this chicken feed that's coming from Oregon, right, that comes on a truck once a month.
Right.
And so they can call you and get a bag of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if they have their backyard kind of figured out as far as getting rid of chemicals, they have a place for the chickens to roost, they have clean water, and they have this chicken feed, like how much do you use? Or you're saying how big is this bag and how much is it?
It's a 50-pound bag. It runs a little under $30. It would probably last six chickens about 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so for about $30, you can feed your backyard chickens for about a month if you got about six chickens.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now that seems like a heck of a deal to me. I don't know. And then you're still augmenting with. No. So are you using? Are you throwing it out kind of all over the grass? Do you put it in a chicken feeder?
This you would put in a chicken feeder. You can also buy just the separate whole grains. They have the animal-grade whole grains that you can throw out for scratch.
Okay. All right. I'm starting to see that this is a doable thing. Yeah. Now, what about the question came up during the break about pets? You know, people are saying, hey, well, my dog's in the backyard. You know, how do these chickens work with dogs and cats?
I haven't seen any problem with cats. With dogs, it would depend on the dog.
It depends on the dog.
Some dogs
okay.
mix well with them, and some dogs might eat them. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. Can you maybe have a little, can you just, maybe you could donate half of your backyard to the chickens.
Yeah, you could
can
separate
you do
it
that?
Off.
Mm-hmm. Do they need to really stretch out, or do they need a half acre to stretch out, or is bit of room
yeah,
enough?
Yeah, it would depend on how many chickens, but with 6 chickens, you would need less space.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a question. Okay, do we have a caller here?
Hi, it's James.
Hi, James. How are
you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're Redding's latest chicken owners. We got our peeps on Tuesday.
You got your peeps on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
So we're having a blast. And I think the neatest story is that while we were painting our coop in front of our house, we had about 4 or 5 neighbors stop. And we have neighbors galore that are doing the same thing.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
If you want to share the story, you're welcome to it.
If what?
If you'd like to share that, you are welcome to it.
Oh, I think it's great. Yeah. Now, tell us, what are you, you know, I know when I talked to you a while back, you were sort of caught in the throes of what to feed your chickens, and are you letting them run around quite, like, you are they even in your backyard yet, or are they still?
No, they're still in the brooder.
Okay.
They're just, I mean, we can hold them in our hands a couple of times.
Yeah.
They're so tiny. But we also have 2 bigger ones. They're about 3 weeks old, and we're getting ready to let them out. And we're going to do a run at first, a caged run.
Ah, I see.
And it's a run that has no bottom on it, so they'll just, they'll scratch in a little bit of a confined area.
Oh, that's wonderful,
and then
yeah.
As they get older, and we assess the predators and the how to manage them, we'll start letting them out. We got about 2/3 of an acre, so there's plenty of room.
Oh, you have a lot of room.
Yes.
Now, do you have pets that they're going to need to work some area?
Well, we don't have pets, but we're along the southern Bonneview, the big fields of Bonneview, and we're worried about coyotes, we're worried about skunks, raccoons. So we're really doing a good job of keeping that taken care of.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. I just love that it's kind of a new sort of cult thing to do, I think.
Well, we thought we were pioneers, but it turns out everybody's got them. There's a great guy in our neighborhood that's, making coops.
Oh, wow. Is it
contract.
Something? Yeah, he's contracting out.
Well, he was a contractor that was hit by this economy.
Yeah.
And he found a niche, and he's on Craigslist, just put chicken coop, and he's got a great, inexpensive coop that you finish. And it's just really, really neat. We've seen ideas about chicken coop tours, these backyard tours.
Yeah.
So it may be this new subculture.
I think so. Now, are you comfortable giving his name out so people can...
We're driving... Redding right now, so I don't have it, but if you go to Craigslist, I know his first name is Dave.
Okay.
And if just hit Craigslist under, I think, farming and gardening for Redding, and punch in coop, and he'll be the second or third.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's a 20-square-foot coop with a either barn shape or house shape, and we painted it and roofed it and built the run underneath it.
Oh, my gosh, I love it. I love your commitment
yeah.
to this. And I just, the fact that neighbors are finding it to be that interesting is just...
Well, it had been the first time we've seen a lot of these neighbors, and they were pulling into our driveway, and, they knew what we were doing.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate
sure.
it. Yeah. We'll be talking
Have
to you soon.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Right.
Bye. Okay, Sandra. Well, I know, it's big, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
I love it. Okay. Well, so let's make sure that we give your name and your number so that as we come to a close here in the next couple of minutes on our chicken segment, let's let people find you so they can get some of this really high-end feed.
Yes, my name is Sandy Smith, and I'm at 547-5230, and I'm up in Millville.
And you're in Millville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if they want to, since the truck comes once a month and brings this feed to Redding, do you like orders ahead of time, and then when the feed is in, you just have them come out and pick it up?
Right.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do everything on a pre-order basis, so I just order for individuals. I don't stock it.
Okay. And then as far as getting chickens, if people are thinking now, can Sandy also get me chickens? Is that something that you do, or should just head them to the feed store?
The feed store would be, yeah.
Okay. And then, okay, so let's give them your phone number again.
Oh, 547-5230.
And then as far as I know, the feed that you're getting is the best feed that I know of, and I would be so proud if anybody kind of went with that commitment. You know, that's just, if we can just prevent all of the little weird diseases that any animals get by having the food have all the nutrients and have these be really healthy chickens, it pays off in the long run with all of the things you have to do to treat problems that arise from poor nutrition. And so, do we have one more call? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Okay, so we have, our producer Eric has now pulled up online pictures of chicken coops that look like, I don't know, Cape Cod homes and ranch homes and barns.
I believe
barns.
This is what your caller was referring to. This is Dave
on
Craigslist.
Those are Dave? Oh, my goodness.
And like you said, these are, wow.
These are great.
Some spoiled chickens.
Oh, yeah. Boy, oh, boy. Between that and the feed, I don't know. They might strike. They'll be able to tell you what to do. So you're listening to Positively Healthy, and this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hi.
Oh, and welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to the show Positively Healthy. And, you know, before we move to our next topic, I do want to mention here with these chicken coops that the guy's name is Dave, and I want to give you his phone number. Okay, Dave's number is 243-6240, and they are fancy. And now, Eric, did you say they were $325?
Yeah, according to Craigslist, unfinished, $325. And if you do go to Craigslist and type in chicken coops, this is the second one up there. These are some high quality. I mean, just looking at the picture, some high quality.
Unbelievable.
I would, if I was into chickens and I was really getting into this, I'd spend $325 and buy one of these.
So would I.
Paint it red because you got the nice little red barn thing going on here. So,
that's
really cool.
Great. And then if you want to, what do we have here? Can you read that website?
Yeah, it's www.dcchickencoops.blogspot.com is this website.
Okay.
As well as on Craigslist.
Great. Okay, thank you. All right, that concludes the chicken segment of our show, friends. We're going to move on to, we have two guests here. We have Leslie Bryan and Tracy Fenton with us today from Western Shasta Resource Conservation District. Welcome, Tracy and Leslie.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're on the show today to promote a movie that's coming up on the 15th. And, you know, part of the Green Film Series is, you know, the movie what's the name of the movie?
It's Journey to the Planet Earth, the State of the Planet's Oceans.
Okay. And we're going to get to that in a little while. But I wanted to, you know, I think maybe, since I don't know what the Western Shasta Resource Conservation District does, I thought maybe we could just start there. I went to your website and I just said, "Wow, okay, I don't know a thing about your group." So maybe you could tell us how long you've been around and what you do.
Sure. Actually, our area is about 1.7 million acres that is bounded on the east side by the east of the county, by the watershed divide between eastern and western Shasta County, and the north by the Siskiyou County line, the west by Trinity County line, and the south by the Tehama County line, and so pretty much all of western Shasta County.
The western part of our county.
Right, and our mission is actually we're a special district of the state, and we're entirely funded off of grants and contracts, so we receive no tax dollars. And since 1957, we've worked with, this is important, willing landowners, and government agencies, other organizations to facilitate the conservation and restoration of our area's natural resources. And our focus really has been on fisheries restoration, water quality, quantity, invasive species management, wildland fuels management, environmental education, and climate stewardship.
Okay, and so what is it that you're doing to some of our local creeks out here?
Actually, Tracy has cleanups going on, and then she also has macro invertebrate testing or monitoring, citizen monitoring, so she can tell you a little.
The creek cleanups we've got going on, we just finished one in Anderson, on Anderson Creek, in conjunction with the City of Anderson litter cleanup week. It was the 12th through the 17th, and it was very successful. We cleaned up a stretch of about a mile and three quarters on Anderson Creek. It starts at Volante Park, and then we ended up behind Pre-Employ, where actually we collected several truckloads of all kinds of garbage, probably took out eight shopping carts and mattresses and chairs and okay. all kinds of baskets and weird plastic things.
All right, and what else? So beyond trash, what are you guys working, doing?
Well, the macroinvertebrate sampling we are doing, it's a study on the health of the stream. So we're just starting up. We sampled yesterday in Bear Creek. So we are collecting benthic macroinvertebrates, so the bottom of the creek. And then we're going to be sending them to a laboratory and collecting the data for the first data points in 10 different locations.
Okay, and what is that going to show us?
It's going to tell us bugs are indicators of the health of a stream, and so the healthier the stream, there's just indicator bugs that show the health. I mean, there's always going to be bugs, but it's just a starting point, a data point.
Okay. Is this the first time you've done that
mm-hmm.
in our streams?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
What other indicators, like our streams in general, are they pretty darn healthy? Or are they pretty not healthy? Or are they unhealthy? Or are they?
From what I saw yesterday, Bear Creek's pretty darn healthy. It had good dissolved oxygen, the oxygen in the stream. Every fish and living creature needs that. And so it had a really good, healthy dissolved oxygen count, and the flow was good.
Mm-hmm.
The riparian habitat was not disturbed, and so it was pretty nice.
That's good
but
news.
You know, there's lots of effects. It could be cattle or agriculture, pesticides, or simply you know, the breakdown from walking or off-highway vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that case on this stream. So.
Okay. And is this the first stream you're saying that you've really looked at? Okay.
This is the first stream we've sampled out of the 10.
So this is kind of a new direction that you're going?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And then what are the other things that your group does then to kind of take us through these a little bit?
Okay. We've got fisheries restoration, multi-million dollar project that has been going on for many years now along Lower Clear Creek.
Okay.
And there is a...
Let me think of where that is first. Lower Clear Creek. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like... below where all the mining was, or kind
correct,
of
below Whiskeytown Dam.
Oh, below Whiskeytown Dam.
So
where?
So it's off of 273
okay.
at Clear Creek Road, and
okay.
so you go up there, and there's some BLM land there that wonderful folks of or a group of people, various agencies, et cetera, have really come together to make great things happen. And right now there is a new salmon viewing area and a trail system that I'd really like everybody to know about and go out and have fun and walk and see salmon, you know, during October, during the salmon runs. There's ability there.
Okay, where do they drive again? What exact roads do they take to get to this trail that you're talking about?
273.
Okay.
To Clear Creek Road.
Okay.
And, I guess maybe a couple miles down, look for the signs.
It's approximately 6.5 miles. You head west on Clear Creek Road. It's going to be...
Do you park on the left or the
you
right?
You would. And at the overlook, there's a paved parking lot. It's an overlook. It's very, very nicely done. Bathrooms, walking trails, 10.5 miles of walking trails. And they're installing Par Fitness. It's kind of playground equipment, but it's for different stations on the walking trail.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
so.
Did your group put those trails in? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, you're listening to Positively Healthy, and you know we have to take a break. So we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Slow down. You move too fast.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Clearly News Talk Radio. Well, I am learning right now that the trail that Tracy's talking about, I've been on just recently, and it might be the prettiest trail I've ever seen. And it looks over the canyon. And what's the name of that canyon?
That it's actually the gorge.
That is, gorge,
Yeah, on Lower Clear Creek is the gorge.
Okay.
And across the ways, it actually goes on to Cloverdale.
Yeah.
And that's a trail. It's all the system hooks together, but and on Cloverdale, which is across.
That's where I was,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they're actually hoping to put in a walking bridge that goes on the others on the is that the north side of the bridge, just below Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve.
Okay.
Which is about 7 miles out on 273. Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve is another gem. It's open to the public. It's 27 acres of stewardship land for Horsetown Clear Creek. They are a 501 nonprofit organization, and anyone is welcome to go out and use the land if they take care of it like it's their own. This morning there was a wildlife biologist, and she was doing a talk on birds. So, songbirds.
Nice. Songbirds, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, I saw gorgeous waterfalls,
yes,
and lots of mining history.
Yes.
So it was very vital, and I can see that in a few months it'll be very hot there. So
yes.
I would,
yes,
suggest shaking a leg. And then go ahead, and Leslie, tell us what else your group does.
Well, one thing I'm working on is I'm wrapping up a project with Westcarb and Winrock. Westcarb is one of seven partnerships throughout the United States that is through the Department of Energy, and its purpose is to research area or ways to sequester carbon. And what we're doing is through terrestrial carbon sequestration, and that means putting things on the ground to sequester carbon through photosynthesis. It's just simply growing plants to capture carbon dioxide and hold it as a biomass or as a plant. So we're reforesting areas. We've got 12 pilot projects now, and totaling about 470 acres. We've taken out manzanita high fuel areas, the shrubbery, and replanted with native plants, and we're finding some real good successes in the plants having good success rate, and the trees are really taking off. And so with that, there's been scientists involved, and they're trying to figure out, and this is beyond me, but the scientists are figuring out how much carbon is being sequestered in those kind of projects. And so the whole idea is that we're informing decision makers on what we can do to better the planet just here on with projects here.
Sure. Now, does that mean manzanita is not native? Or?
No, most of it is not, or I should say some is not. And the problem, though, with manzanita is not that it's not native or is native, but that it has taken over. In certain areas, you have we all know how much fire that we have here in our area, and what happens is we get in a burn and brush cycle. And so it burns. Fire goes through its catastrophic event, and before the trees can ever reestablish, then we get hit again, and we never get out of the brush cycle. And so we don't have that tree cycle. And then also, in the Keswick area with some of the copper smelting that occurred years ago, we have that brush also, and the erosion that occurred after that has created problems. And so nature needs a little help in this regard, and that's what we're trying to do.
And then what is it that you're planting then?
Native, all native species, ponderosa pine in the higher elevations, some incense cedar, Doug fir, and then lower, actually, in Lower Clear Creek, we have a project with some oaks, some valley oaks, so really reestablishing those valley oaks.
Oh, wonderful. And then as far as fire management or fire lines or working with homeowners, what are you guys doing in that regard?
Oh, wow, that's big.
Good question. We actually do find grants to get crews out there and to go ahead and install fuel breaks. And right now, we're involved with the Shasta County Fire Safe Council, and they have been very involved in reestablishing their...
Updating.
Thank you, Tracy. Updating the fuel plans for the various areas. And they've got fuel plans for the Cottonwood Creek watershed, Cow Creek, French Gulch area, Lakehead, Lower Clear Creek, Shasta West, Shingletown, and Stillwater Churn Creek. And we're looking for public comments on those, and they're all on our website right now, www.westernshastarcd.org. And so folks can go there and look at the plans and give input. Now, those plans have information like it includes what the network of fuel breaks are suggested and the guidelines for defensible space, risk assessment, and evacuation plans. And so it's really important information that the public should know about and have input on.
Okay, so tell me that again in a way that it'll help people understand what you just said.
I can chime in a little bit on that. Defensible space around your own home is, you know, the 100 feet defensible space, but there's a lot to that. You need to make sure that your eaves are taken care of and that there's no debris and leaves on your roof and in your gutters, that you have shrubbery taken out that could climb up a tree, and that's primarily where the manzanita comes in. It's a real hot burning fuel. And it burns hot, and its flames reach high. An ember can travel a mile and a half. So if you think that you're safe from a fire that's over the hill, you're not.
Yeah, that's good info. Yeah.
Yeah, so you need to keep your weeds down and the lower shrubs cleared out and branches up to 30 feet so that you can prevent, and it'll go through quickly if it does come through. It's also something that firefighters have to look for. If you're going into an area that is heavily forested with the lower brush, they're going to go where they have a safe spot to attack. And so if your place is cleared, you're going to be a better candidate to have someone come and defend your space.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're going to take a quick break. Our guests are Leslie Bryan and Tracy Fenton, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. And as we wrap up, we're going to get to this movie that they're sponsoring here in just a second. But before we do that, I wanted to have Tracy explain just, well, you know, they handed me this big document, this beautiful, probably one-inch thick binder or booklet. This is the Keswick Basin Community Wildfire Protection Plan. And so you're saying that all communities have a protection plan. So this teaches people really their escape routes. What all is in this? And then
it highlights all the different areas, and there has been ongoing years of data collected, and they connect trails that are fire break. They're about a 30-foot swath that they go through, and they remove all the brush so that there will be a line of attack. And then those are connected yearly. If you look at some of these maps, there's last year's, and they try and hook up this year's proposal, but it's all grant-funded, and so we hope. Our team wrote 33 grant proposals for the fuel reduction breaks in February and sent those off. Of that, it's a drawing, and not all of those will be chosen. So it behooves each person in their own community, in their own neighborhood, to have a defensible space.
Yeah.
And you can do that a number of ways. If you can't get one of these copies, which are, we'd gladly provide if you contact Western Shasta RCD, or it is on our website at westernshastarcd.org. But there's also lists of people that have, that's their business, fire prevention, defensible space, and so on. And one of my favorites, I use them twice a year, is the Shasta County Probation Department crew.
Mm-hmm.
They come out with a team of, say, 10 people with their trailer and the porta potty, all their own tools, gas. You can make, suggestions. I need limb saws, blah, blah, blah. If it's wintertime, they will bring two Sawyers, cut, burn, stack wood, anything you need. In the summertime, they bring plastic head weed eaters, and again, all their own gas equipment, and take off down the hill for about six hours for $200.
My goodness.
And that's a good deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Tony Forward is actually the probation officer that heads that program up. And his number is?
Yeah.
It's 225-6626.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
he
is
rocks.
So helpful
yeah.
to people.
And also, Western Shasta RCD has a crew, and they have, in the summer, chippers and a crew and trucks, and they can get a lot done in a half a day, a day. And
yeah.
If you had a community that actually could go in on something, that is what we're really trying to promote in some of these community meetings.
Oh, how wonderful. Gosh,
yeah.
You guys do a huge variety of different, efforts or programs. It's really quite exciting. Well, let's talk about this movie. We've got a couple minutes left, and so...
Okay, the movie, like we said, is titled Journey to Planet Earth, The State of the Planet Oceans. And kind of exciting in that Matt Damon is the narrator for that. And the idea is that they're investigating the health and sustainability of the world's oceans and the issues affecting marine preserves, fisheries, and coastal ecosystems in the United States and worldwide. And then also we'll have a panel after that to discuss the state of our area's creeks and the Sacramento River. And it's a pretty impressive panel, I think. There's Mike Berry, who's a staff environmental scientist from the California Department of Fish and Game, Guy Chatelet, a geologist from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, Dan Scullin, a GIS instructor and sustainability committee member from Shasta College, and Mark McCloak, the president of the NorCal Fishing Guides Association. And the idea, I'm hoping that they can really bring forth some information on the health of our creeks, pollution, if there is, what's going into our creeks, and then also the wildlife, how that is, and what's been the fishing like? You know, what are the changes in fishing through history of our area? And this film is the last in the Green Film series. There's been three others, and it's part of the Whole Earth and Watershed Festival, which, and also in collaboration with the Shasta College Sustainability Conference. The committee that's on the Whole Earth and Watershed Festival, we have a really great committee. There's the Citizens for Responsible Government, First United Methodist Church, KIXC-TV, Reading Electric Utility, Sierra Club, Shasta Community College, Shasta Land Trust, the Shasta Conservation Fund, Western Shasta RCD, and Women's Health Specialists. So really it's a community kind of event that we're all putting together, and let's all come together and start talking about what's going on in our own backyard, and then connecting it to the whole, because everything is connected.
Now, I know that the locations keep changing. Now, where is this?
Right. We're trying to get them throughout the community and make it easy on people. And it's at the First Christian Church, 3590 Placer Street in Reading. It's taking place on Saturday, May 15th at 7 p.m.
Now, is that the Pyramid Church up there on the hill? No? Anybody know? Okay. We don't know exactly where that is. Okay, so, and is it free?
It's free.
Ah, we like that word in Reading. That means your attendance will be really good. Okay, well, that's perfect then. Now, as we finalize then, so we have people invited. They know where they're going. They know what time. It's the 15th at 7. Okay, and so then as far as what do you want to leave people with as far as the state of our local area? Do you feel pretty good about it?
Good.
Do we have a lot of work? Good things are happening.
Good things
okay.
are happening.
Do you feel pretty good about where we are?
Oh, more and more. The festival is one example. It has gotten bigger every year, and we had like over 4,000 people attending. And the parking was kind of challenging because we had so many people. We're working on that for next year. But, yes, people are very much coming together and taking a look at what we're doing here and knowing that what we do really has an effect on everything else.
It's definitely becoming more community. I see more community members. Board of Supervisors are out there. They're coming to their own meetings. They're promoting. They're actually connecting that the watersheds and the fire prevention, it all runs together. And that if you get involved, you know, it's just going to make it that much better because you live there. You know best what areas are dangerous, what areas need help.
So that old bumper sticker is kind of true then, the think global, act global, act local,
yes,
whatever my words
exactly.
are there. Yeah, whatever that is. Okay, well, thank you both for being on.
Exactly.
And I hope today here you've learned something about backyard chickens and a little bit about cool things happening to preserve streams, to help fire runoff trails. All sorts of nice things are happening in our area. And if you get a chance this weekend, get out and check out the old Shasta Art Fair. Lots of great music. 39th year of that art fair, and they do a whole lot for their community, and they've been known for having good food throughout the years, and you know, a little plug for the locals there. My sister's in the Jim Dyer Band, and they play tomorrow. So, you know, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you are listening to Positively Healthy. We'll see you next week. And next week we're going to have the meat roundtable. We're talking grass-fed beef, what's easy about being a rancher, what's hard, what do you do with all that success, what do you do with the good points and the bad points. We'll be talking to you then, and have a great weekend.